Inside on Business, the news hour is brought to you by Square One DSM, a initiative of the Greater Des Moines Partnership. Learn more at squareonedsm.com. And Iowa Softwater, clean, safe softwater for you and your family, iowasoftwater.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. Grateful that you are hanging out with us on your ride home this afternoon. If you were with us yesterday, you heard that I gave kind of this overview about what happened last week in Washington, D.C., with the Greater Des Moines Partnership's Washington, D.C. fly-in. That's a big name. And was spending 3 days, 72 hours roughly, in D.C. with 200 plus civic, business, and nonprofit leaders. And so that was my personal reflection on some of that. And if you missed that, you can find that on the podcast page on iTunes, Stitcher, or on Podbean from yesterday. Just go ahead and Google Insight on Business, the news hour. We will be there. But we thought we would get really accurate because my stuff was just what I thought about it. And Joe Murphy is with us. He's the Senior Vice President of Government Relations and Public Policy. It means he's a lobbyist, ladies and gentlemen. That's okay. Welcome, Joe.
Good to see you. Good to see you.
Thanks. I mean, we haven't been together for days.
I'm going through withdrawals. It's nice to be back.
You know, you've been on the job now with the partnership since when? Fall?
Yeah, end of September.
Yeah. What do you think?
It's great. It's great. It's a great organization. Economic development, community development is what we're all about. And so to advocate on those issues on behalf of the larger community is just an honor.
And the nice thing about that, I think, is you can't really tick anybody off.
You can't.
You try.
Yeah, right. It's great work. You know, I think one of the best parts about working for the partnership and what we're lobbying for every single day is to make Iowa and to make Des Moines that much more prosperous for all Iowans.
And it has had a good track record.
It has. It has. And that's not by accident. You know, we have a great slate of staff members that work every single day trying to do the best that they can. And when you align that with public policy and marketing and public relations, things fall into place pretty quickly, but it's a strong team effort.
Well, one of the things that maybe many people don't realize, this is the fourth largest chamber in the United States.
Right.
Over 6,000 members, 23 affiliate chambers that are all part of this. And so it is a big wheel to turn. Lots of people, lots of moving parts. And it seems as though, and we're going to talk about our trip to D.C. here in just a moment, but it seems to go, that ended on Friday at 5 o'clock when everybody got back here, but there was still a remnant of some of the people that stayed behind to clean up and make sure that things were going there, and it's on to another thing.
That's right. That's right. It never ends, but that's a good thing. That means there's a lot going on, and I think our first meeting planning, our 39th annual Des Moines to D.C. trip will take place next week or the week after.
Yeah, at least give you a breather, right?
Exactly.
Is it better now? Can you focus more on stuff rather than when legislature is in session?
It's different sort of management for sure. Mm-hmm. But you know, the good thing is we've got great representation both federally and here at the state level, and it makes our job easier when you have advocates within those positions trying to put forward sound public policy to have more opportunities for Iowans. You can't get any better than that.
Yeah, sound public policy is up to the discretion of whomever you're speaking to. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah. That's correct.
We don't do politics on the Business News Hour. We try to stay out of that thing. We just kind of focus on the business thing. But I have never been, Joe, in such a time when politics and business intersect. I mean, today the market just kind of stalled out, as a matter of fact. Okay. And, I mean, the New York Times, we just had the bulletin just a moment ago that says that it seems that President Trump asked Jim Comey to ditch the Flynn investigation. So that gives investors sometimes a little pause for concern. And that's exactly what happened today, it seems, here in Wall Street.
Yeah, that's really interesting. You know, it's certainly an interesting time, and those present sort of different challenges.
Gosh, but yeah.
But any time we have a challenge, no matter what it is, there it also presents some great opportunities for us. So we look forward to working with our members and investors to try to come up with different solutions moving forward. You know, we have a really good process in place, and it's so important when you're putting together a political agenda, if you will. And I know we're not going to talk politics, but when you put together a policy agenda like we do with so many businesses, it's important to have that buy-in from members right away. And the fact that we're a nonpartisan, consensus-driven organization really lends itself some credibility, I think.
One of the things I think that – and we'll talk a little bit about public policy here for just a moment. The wide slate of things and issues that you had going into this 38th annual visit to Washington, D.C., was really wide and varied, from transportation to housing to taxes to all kinds of things. That is all generated, if I'm correct, by membership.
Absolutely. Any member of ours can bring a policy slate to the table. The policy committee, the Government Policy Council, reviews that very rigorously. We vet it. We put that up against our checks and balances as an organization. And then depending on that process, we then have the option to elevate certain things to the forefront. And that's exactly what we did last week, talking about things like transportation, infrastructure, the airport in particular, student loan issues, tax issues. All those things sort of bubble up to the surface, and we look for those opportunities in which we can make a difference and make a difference in a really impactful way.
One of the chair of that committee, by the way, happens to be from Des Moines University, obviously a medical center here in the greater Des Moines metro. Mm-hmm. And what a timely choice for that, because when I was there for those 72 hours, it seemed like healthcare was the buzzword of the day.
It was, yeah. And Sue Huppert's our chair this year at Des Moines U, and she just did an absolute fantastic job sort of guiding us along, particularly in that healthcare field. After the election and Obamacare, not really sure what was going to happen with that. Having somebody as an expert like Sue to help navigate those waters for us was extraordinarily helpful.
Before we get into the itinerary of what happened in D.C., one of the other surprising things I think that many people may be shocked at is the large number of folks that come to Des Moines from Wichita, Indianapolis, Fort Myers, wherever it happens to be, trying to figure out what's the secret sauce that makes this so successful here in Des Moines.
That's right. We're blessed as an organization to have that sort of foresight and that vision to really get things right, and we've had a really great track record so far. And our institutions and our peers around the country have taken notice, and Des Moines is on the map now, and the chambers and regional chambers are no longer looking at Silicon Valley or Austin or Denver.
Well, they don't have to.
They don't have to. They can come right here, and we do a really great job. And like I said before, it's a team effort. We have buy-in not only from the staff, obviously, but from the community, business leaders, nonprofit. It's really a great situation right now, but it's incumbent upon us to make sure we maximize that momentum moving forward. That's, I think, the really critical part. Like I said earlier, this didn't happen by accident, but the responsibility moving forward is that we harness that and continue that progress.
Joe Murphy, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the Greater Des Moines Partnership. And now we're going to dive into what the expectations were about going to the 38th annual D.C. fly-in and what transpired. What do you think?
It was a great time. You know, it was the first time I've ever gone into the DMDC trip myself. So, I guess you could say I'm still recovering as well. But it was a great opportunity. We had, like you said, over 200 Iowans coming in from central Iowa.
That's huge.
It's huge. Huge number. Second largest actual chamber fly-in to our nation's capital in the country. So that's a great plug for us. The fact that we have so many members invested in the process, trying to get things done, meeting with thought leaders, meeting with their congressional staffs on both sides of the political aisle, I think really lends credibility to the fact that what we do here in Iowa and our representation in Iowa, from Congressman Young to Congressman Lobsack and our two U.S. senators, they just do a phenomenal job. And the fact that they're willing to meet with us whenever we need them to is a great opportunity.
Well, that says a lot about the power of the partnership in actuality. I mean, who's going to turn their back on 23 chambers and 6,000 members? And because those are votes oftentimes.
Certainly doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt.
And that's absolutely true. But again, you know, the DMDC trip is really just the start of our process. It's the beginning point. From here on out, our work's not done. We're going to be lighting up the phones, emails, going back out to DC on our staff multiple times between now and the end of the year to make sure these five priority areas and other areas that pop up have a rightful spot in some policy decisions.
Let's talk about those five priority areas.
Yeah.
Go ahead and roll through them, and,
sure.
And let's figure out where we're at.
Sure. So from a policy standpoint, we elevated five areas from our overall agenda. Every single year, we really talk about transportation and infrastructure projects. Des Moines and greater Des Moines in general has a lot of opportunity when we're talking about roads, bridges. The airport in particular is huge. But then we also the other constant in our policy agenda is arts and culture. And when we're talking about economic development, it's not just, you know, tax policy or business policy or infrastructure or transportation. It's what you're going to do on the weekends. It's how you're going to sustain that cultural vibe that Des Moines is now known for, which is so important when we're trying to recruit and attract the best sort of talent that we have, whether it's a C-suite type of person coming in to one of our larger companies, or that 23-year-old college graduate that wants to come in and start his or her career in Des Moines.
And I think that's very important. This morning at 7:30, there was an affiliates meeting that you and I were both at the partnership headquarters. And one of the things that they came up with while they were doing research, branding research for Des Moines, was this area of arts and culture. Because, as you say, it's not just about tax policy and business policy. What the heck are you going to do on the weekends or on vacation, or what are families going to do, and what do they think about this? And we didn't score necessarily very high, apparently, with some people, so the opportunity to improve that.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the great things. No matter what we do as far as other sorts of policy, there's always those areas that we can then go back, regroup, retread, and come back at it the next year. And I think that's just really important when we're thinking about a sustained momentum trying to influence public policy for the betterment of all Iowans.
So we've talked about arts and culture. We've talked about transportation infrastructure. What else?
So we had a really interesting proposal on tax policy. And one of the interesting things on that is from an employer's standpoint, if I'm an employee and I graduate with a lot of student loan debt, if the employer then tries to pay that off, I'm going to get hit with a tax bill. And so one of the things that we want to do is provide equity in the system. So if an employer is paying for your tuition while you're still a student, while you're still working, that doesn't count as additional income. Exactly. And so clearly the tax code at the federal level was not aligned properly at the outset. Paying off student loans from an employer standpoint is something that's a new tool to employers as unfortunately student debt is continuing to mount. And so I'm happy to report that Congressman Young, Congressman Lobsack, and others have bipartisanly sponsored legislation to fix this inequity in the tax code, and that's something we really want to support
them on. It's very important, especially as we're attempting to recruit more and more talent. And if that can be part of the tools in the toolbox, that would seem to make sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. We hear it constantly.
Absolutely. What else you got?
So the last thing I'd just like to mention is the removal of the passenger facility charge at the airport. And that is that's a very complicated issue. It's a terrible name, I grant you that. But this is really an opportunity to increase the revenue flow at the Des Moines Airport without increasing your tax bill. And so currently the passenger facility charge at the Des Moines Airport is capped at the year 2000 level. It's only $4.50. So what we would like to do is remove that cap, give the Des Moines Airport the ability to negotiate directly with the airlines to increase that fee, which would then entail provide additional revenue to create a new airport terminal, for example. We're really trying to find all sorts of opportunities to uncover any sorts of potential revenue or funds out there that would take that airport to the next level.
Wow. Of course, that would then, I suspect, the airlines would then pass those costs on to the consumer.
They certainly could, but It's a user fee, and that's something we'll obviously keep an eye on as well.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it. It's a user fee. It's not a tax.
It's a user fee.
That's right. I
don't pay. You don't pay it unless you use it.
That's right. I got you. Joe Murphy, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about, yes, it worked. We're talking about the Des Moines fly-in into Washington, D.C. You know, I had this pushback on that. I wrote a blog. I do a political blog every Sunday just for kicks because it keeps me sane because I don't get to talk about politics here. But anyway, one of the individuals bounced back at me and said, how come you spend all that money going to Washington, D.C. when we have a perfectly fine, beautiful capital here in Des Moines?
It's a great – I appreciate the question, and we are absolutely engaged on both sides of that ledger. Federally, obviously, is a big focus right now, but we have a very robust presence at the Iowa State Capitol. We had a very successful year, I'd say, this year lobbying on behalf of our 6,000 members and 23 affiliate chambers. We really focused on education, workforce initiatives. Future Ready Iowa that Governor Branstad has been promoting was sort of our hallmark piece of legislation that we really wanted to work on to provide those tools to the next generation of workers in our state.
Well, the other perk with all of this, quite frankly, is the opportunity for these 200-plus individuals to network with each other and then cause more business to happen once we get home.
Yeah, it's really invaluable. You know, it's so hard. We were just talking to another one of your guests in the green room, and She's excited to come on the trip next year, and talking to some of her coworkers who've been on the trip and the amount of work and deals that they get done because the partnership, we have you captive in a hotel and a bus and an airplane, and that's all. That's a
you
great
gotta
thing.
Talk.
You got to. That's a great thing. You know, networking is so important. I think in this day and age, sometimes we like to sort of retract and send emails and do Snapchat or whatever. But it's that face to face connectivity is what happens on this trip, and that is invaluable and something that needs to be done more of, I think.
Excellent. Joe Murphy, ladies and gentlemen, from the Greater Des Moines Partnership. Thanks so much for coming down here. Your voice has gotten much better.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
I'm still recovering, yeah. but I'm not quite at your level yet, but I appreciate the compliment.
All of that work, talking. He makes his living talking. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Thanks very much for doing this. All right.
You got it.
We got to clear on out of here because Tyler has started the music, which means it's nigh on to 6 o'clock for all of us associated with Insight on Business, the News Hour. Tyler Hackenmiller is our producer this evening, as he is each and every evening, turning the dials, twisting the knobs, making sure that you get what you get that we produce each and every weekday at 5 o'clock. The program director for the radio stations is Patrick Wood. The liaison between our advertising agency and the Des Moines Radio Group is Mary Sayer. The voice of Insight on Business, the News Hour is Jimmy Olson. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett exclusively for the Business News Hour. For all those folks and our guests, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful evening. We will be back, God willing, at 5 o'clock tomorrow. Until then, be safe, be well, be careful, and most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good night.